Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be made known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
First reading is from Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel! Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your Lord is your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let us read together Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You press upon me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. My body was not hidden from you. While I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. They were fashioned day by day, whereas yet there was none of them. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. They would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. Second reading is from Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, "The two shall be one flesh." But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael come, When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said to Nathanael, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And the words of the psalmist, For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. In his book, A Clown in the Belfry, Writings of Faith and Fiction, Frederick Buechner wrote, Turn around and believe that the good news that you are loved is better than we ever dared hope, and that to believe in that good news, to live out of it and toward it, to be in love with that good news, is of all glad things in this world, the gladdest thing of all. The day after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he sees Jesus coming toward him and identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. These two disciples of John hear his words and go and follow Jesus. Jesus turns around. What do you want? Teacher, where are you staying? Come and you will see. One of them, Andrew, goes to find his brother Simon Peter. He believes we have found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. Two disciples of John become disciples of Jesus and begin their journey with him. Today's gospel reading tells us that Jesus went to Galilee. On his way, he sees Philip and invites him to follow him. Philip finds Nathanael and is very clear about his message. We have found the one Moses wrote about the law and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael's response is doubtful and critical. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see are important words of Jesus inviting the disciples, the men who he meets, to come and be his disciples, to journey with him. There are times when I think when we meet people on the street, when we meet people in the stores and we begin conversations and we talk about coming, that we're members of St. John the Divine, I kind of think maybe we need to say, come and see. Come and see who we are. Come and see and feel and come to know who we worship. Come and see are important words in our ministry in the world. It seems that Jesus knows more about Nathanael, his character, where he hangs out. Jesus identifies him as a true Israelite. Jesus saw him sitting under the fig tree before Philip called him. Nathanael is surprised, and yet his heart is opened, and he believes in who he sees standing before him and declares that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus promises him, because you believe in my words and who I am, you will see greater things than these. Here again, the words from Frederick Buechner. Turn around and believe that the good news that we are loved is better than we ever dared hope, and that to believe in that good news, to live out of it and move toward it, to be in love with that good news, is of all the glad things in this world, the gladdest thing of all. The title given to Psalm 139 is a poem of praise to the Lord who knows us through and through. It is a profound description of the intimate personal knowledge that the Lord has of the psalmist and of each one of us as we read that psalm. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journey and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there's not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You press upon me behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. The good news that we are loved. The good news that we are loved. Not only because of who God created in each one of us, but because we are good and because God is calling us to follow the will of God. The psalmist expresses his awe and praise to God because of the extent of God's knowledge of him. God knows each one of us. God knows what is in our hearts, what is in our thoughts. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. You and I, like Andrew and Simon Peter, Philip and Nathanael, are created in the image and likeness of God. We are marvelously made by a God who knows us by name, by our thoughts, our actions, our words, and what is in our hearts. The one who calls us to follow our Lord Jesus, to carry our cross, to see the wonderful works of God in all of creation, to have the strength and goodwill to love and serve our neighbors, to believe in the good news that we are loved, to move toward it, to live out in it, and to proclaim this truth to others who desire to come and see, to turn around and believe in the good news that all of us are loved by the God who created us. Amen.
We believe in one God,
the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God with power, God and God, light for light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified on the cross of Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 2, found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 385, if you want to follow along. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Mary, our priest, Jessica and Bob, our wardens, Connie, Deanna, Robin, Sharon, our vestry, for this gathering and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble, especially Bob and Sharon, Jane, Patricia, Sue, Tom, Connie, Wayne, Sharon, Ruth, Cindy, Greg, Suzanne, Chris, Mary, Jerry, Jimmy, and Bob. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him, especially in the Anglican Cycle of Prayer for the Church of the Province of Southeast Asia. Pray that they may find and be found by Him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for David Toretta. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for those in the armed forces and especially those deployed, Mike Irina Menez. In our prayer cycle of prayer for Jane and for Reverend Mary. For those celebrating birthdays this week, Jane and Patricia. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored, especially St. John the Divine. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart,
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you for joining the St. John the Divine podcast. If you're interested in worshiping with us, you can visit us at 9 a.m. at our church, which is at 216 East Chandler Boulevard in Burlington, Wisconsin. If you want to learn more about us, you can click the link in the description or visit stjohnthedivine.org. Just remember, we're the one in Burlington, Wisconsin, not the cathedral in New York. Have a great day. Bye.